The Rockets lose to the Warriors. The Astros are hot as fuck. There's a 900-pound man that needs to get to court. And another guy has a really interesting way to get some potholes fixed. This is Sedatus. Oh, man, Nick. It's been a while, my friend.
Joshua, it has been, I think, a month.
Oh, geez. Really, it's been a whole month?
Yeah.
Man, that seems like too long. Way too long. But let's get into this thing, man. What do we got going on here? Bourbon. We're gonna do like a little.
Lots of bourbon tonight.
Yeah, we're gonna mix some bourbon up. We did Buffalo Trace and Maker's Mark, I think.
The house wine.
And we do have a special treat of Blanton's. We're gonna get into some Blanton's this evening. So that's gonna make this podcast magical, I think. But yeah, man, this is Sedatus. I'm Josh. That's Nick. I think you're still Nick. I'm probably still Josh.
Upon occasion.
We can do the whole Tadatas.com. You can find us at Tadatas.com, TADATAS.com. We're also on the tweeters at Tadatas Pod. At Tadatas Pod, you can tweet all your hate mail there. That's where we like to get that. Anything else? We're on the
Facebook.
Yeah.
And.
You can find the podcast in places. Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher. I think that's all for now. All right. So. It's been a while.
So at the end of the last podcast, I had sports predictions going. First of all, Tiger Woods won the Masters, which I said after day one. That was the end of our last podcast. So,
you nailed that one.
Partially genius. Did you miss Cleo?
Well, did you know, or did you just kind of have a?
I just felt it. I felt it. He was playing really well. He did it. It was awesome. I actually have it recorded. The last nine holes I recorded, so that was pretty cool.
Huh, interesting. I didn't watch any tournament whatsoever. So
well, we got a major coming up this weekend. U.S. Opens this weekend. Bethpage Black.
I will watch. I probably watch. You know what, Nick? I will watch exactly the same amount I watched at the Masters, which is zero.
Nothing.
Yeah,
got
zero.
It. Yeah.
I've got other things to do.
Probably work. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, work. Work and watch the Astros, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. So you want to do the sports stuff first? Because it's kind of depressing. And it's kind of happy too. Let's do Rockets first. That's the worst part. So Rockets lose again to the Warriors. How many years in a row is this?
This is the fourth time in the last five seasons they put us out. The second round playoff idea and plan was there, and it felt like the cards were stacking up the way that it could have worked. The exact opposite of last year.
In what way? Went on their court at game seven?
Well, yeah. I mean, so after five, they had a 3-2 lead. We had a 3-2 lead last year, and we lost Chris Paul in game five, got hurt, da-da-da-da-da. They came back. They beat us on our floor.
Okay.
After game five of this season, or this year, they had a 3-2 lead in home court, and they had just lost Durant. So it kind of felt almost like it was written that way to work out, right?
But you mean, so they're going to lose Durant a la like we lost Chris Paul? Yeah,
but that's just you projecting, by the way. Sure, that's okay, but where it fell apart was we didn't win game five and we win game six. So
Those two things did not happen. Yeah,
and it was a frustrating series. I felt like game one was right there, and we weren't getting calls. It is what it is. Game two, Harden gets stabbed in the eye, and I mean he was bleeding, he was hurt, but he still scored 29 points.
Yeah, you could see that eye thing the entire series.
Yeah.
I mean, it was there. But I don't know if that affected the game. He was still pretty awesome. You know what he said
he couldn't see. I mean, I'll give him that.
His play didn't suffer. Didn't seem like anyways. He put up stats. He put up numbers. He did not crumble in game six like he has in the past.
He didn't crumble at all.
Yeah, he played well. You know, I guess maybe the style the Rockets play just kind of it didn't quite work out. They weren't hitting their threes. The bench got real short. We did not see Kenneth Fareed at all.
Not in the last three games, and that was a problem.
Danwell House's minutes went away.
House got hurt in the third game, which we didn't hear about.
Okay.
He had sprained a toe or something.
So he also looked a little sluggish defensively.
He wasn't. He didn't have it either. I'm not sure what Kenneth Fareed said or did about Mike D'Antoni's mom or something.
You think that's what happened?
I have no
idea. Mama jokes.
I mean, because
it was something. He missed
the last three games. He didn't play a second the last
three
games.
Right. But he missed one game, didn't even dress, right?
And that was game four.
Yeah, so that was for personal reasons. That's unfortunate.
I mean, that's NBA code, right? I mean, that's any professional sport code. Personal reasons?
Is that code for something?
I mean,
that is definitely code for something.
I'm not sure what, though. Because you're like a super quasi-semi-third degree pro athlete. What does that mean in your world?
Well, Nick, I'm glad that you I'm glad you asked me for my insight in this particular. I have no idea, man. I don't know what the heck. I mean, you just figure in the playoffs, it's like I want everybody out there. I mean, like you can call mom whatever you want as long as you knock him out a three ball. You know what I mean? Like,
or just go get me some rebounds and box somebody out.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Yeah. You know, because Clint Capela was ineffective at a lot of the series, and Looney outplayed him a lot.
Yep.
Which is unfortunate because Capela had. I mean, he's a better player.
Capela had a great season.
What do you think that's all about? Do you think it, like?
I think that was more about just him, and I think it's all between his ears. This was his first real run in the playoffs with us. I mean, I know he was on the team last year, but he wasn't an integral part of the offense sure. all of last year. It was a much different season for Clint coming into the playoffs.
I think they game planned really well for him. They took away the alley-oop, yeah, specifically in the early games, those first two games.
Sure, but the alley-oop is the alley-oop, but he wasn't even fighting for rebounds.
But that's his whole offensive game, though. If he's not alley-ooping, you know, he doesn't have back-to-the-basket kind of stuff. You
sure.
know what I mean?
Like, so. I mean, but you got to get in there and fight for rebounds. The fact that PJ was beating him every time, when PJ's a dog, he's going to do that. But Chris Paul was out-rebounding Clint Capela. He was out-efforting. There was no hustle. There was no heart. And it was just frustrating in those last couple yeah. of games, because it was there for the taking in game five and it was there for the taking in game six, and it's time to look. And you know, I've heard a bunch of crazy people today, by the way, on the radio, actually not just today, since the loss.
Yeah,
there are countless people that I you know, I just have to look at them and, or listen to them and think, okay, clearly you've been watching basketball for about 4 minutes. A lot of people were like, we got to trade James Harden. You got to tear it all down and start over. And I'm like,
I get that. I mean, I don't get it, but I heard that tear it down, like, that's retarded. Stuff all over the place.
You can move some pieces, but the piece that cannot go anywhere, the cornerstone, is James Harden. That's your star.
Yeah, I mean, well, there's no trade that can be made where you get better by James Harden leaving the team. Even if you say, hey, we'll take LeBron James back, you know what I mean? I don't think the team is so much better. I mean, no. look what LeBron did with a bunch of scrubs in Los Angeles. Now, this team's not a bunch of scrubs.
Right.
But my point in saying that is there's not one-for-one trade where you go, okay, yes, that move makes all the sense in the world. Maybe LeBron's in that conversation. But who like, no other team's doing that. Also, you know,
no,
like if you traded, I mean, okay, who's the best player in the playoffs? Maybe Kevin Durant before he got injured.
Right.
You trade James Harden for Kevin Durant, you're sending James Harden to the Golden State Warriors, right? So, like, even in that situation, that's not better for the Rockets.
No.
So there is no one-for-one trade or package, I don't think, that you can get rid of James Harden and get what you want or get what you need back. You know what I mean? You get what I'm saying?
There's no trade on the planet that I would entertain that would take James Harden off this team. Like,
yeah.
So
it doesn't make sense.
The other idiotic thing I heard was that Chris Broussard was from ESPN was talking about, well, one for one, the Rockets should trade for Ben Simmons. First of all, the 76ers wouldn't take that. Zero chance.
You know, how old is Ben Simmons?
23.
Yeah, okay.
Chris Paul is 34 this year. He'll be 35 next year.
I think
year.
James Harden will be 30 next year.
Harden is 29. He'll be 30 next year.
I mean, James Harden's still one of the best in the league. If not, I mean, top two or three, I would say.
The reason that Chris Paul is not tradable, aside from the age, is next year's salary, $38,500,000.
There's no package you're putting together.
The following year, hold on, it gets better. It's 41.3, and in 2021-22 season, it is 44.2.
I mean, that's okay money, I guess, if you can get that. I mean, I'm not mad at Chris Paul for making that money.
No,
but, you know, like,
but you can't. We're not going to move that.
He can't perform
to
at the
that
level.
Dollar? No,
$41 million. I don't think. I think his best years
for
are behind
the record,
him.
Each one of those years over the next three is more money. He made more money than James Harden on salary this year. He's making more money over the next 3 years every year, more than James Harden. Now.
Yeah.
That in and of itself is just insane. But that's why it's not you can't move Chris Paul.
Right. Okay, that right
you
there.
You have to make a package deal and take a bunch of stuff with it. And
on May, whatever today is, May 14th, 2019, you're looking at that deal going, holy shit, that deal looks real rough. When he signed the extension last year, you're thinking, hell yeah, you know, let's lock this thing in. Let's make a three or four-year run.
I don't want him to go anywhere, but I also know that what I saw, he wasn't really, I mean, I've just.
He wasn't the issue, I don't think.
No, I don't think so. We just need more. I want to know
more something.
Why Kenneth Faried didn't play.
Yeah, we talked about that off air. That was like surprising that he yep. had such an impact throughout the season, but yet just kind of fell away. You know what I mean? And, well, and for you, whatever we joked around about.
You brought him in and you brought in Austin Rivers. And
Austin Rivers played well.
They both played very well during the season. Austin Rivers played very well in the playoffs.
I thought so too.
And you expected Kenneth Faried to get the opportunity, especially when Killian was ineffective and you never saw
him. Yeah, and Nene got all those minutes.
And I'm okay with Nene playing when he did.
I think Kenneth Faried's like the younger version of Nene, right?
Yeah, much more energy. We could have. I'm just. Those are a bunch of 50-50 balls. I think that Faried goes and gets for us.
Maybe. I mean, it's really easy to say that from the sidelines. But
once again, we're fucking sitting here and watching the stupid Warriors play because we had a chance and we fucked it up one more time.
Man, it sucks getting owned by the Warriors time and time again. That's really frustrating. Okay, so I don't think that Chris Paul or James Harden leaving is the answer because there is no teardown. They're in like a 3 or 4 year.
Yeah, I don't think
window.
No.
So what else do you do? Is it nibble around the edges?
I think the reality is
you paid Capella a bunch of money this offseason too.
Capella's under contract through 2023, but that's a movable number. I think you got to package it, and the part where you're going to package it is going to end up being something I don't want to lose. Probably Eric Gordon. Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I look through the rest of it, and there's not a ton of long contracts at all. There's only other than Harden and Paul and Capella. Next year, Gordon's under contract. After that, he's free agent. P.J. Tucker is with us through 2021. Nene is with us through next year. Isaiah Hartenstein, by the way, has a contract through 2021.
So he's got that going for him.
Yeah. G League Player of the Year. G League MVP. G League Finals MVP.
Yeah. Also bench warmer for the Rockets.
Number 12 on the bench. Yeah. Did not see a second.
He dressed out, though. He wore jerseys.
He did.
Which is better than some
he
guys.
Was the 12th man.
Yeah,
he was.
At some guys. He got more closer to the action than I did.
Well,
just barely, though.
It's the clearest explanation that you can give anybody in the parity between the divisions of basketball. Like, you can find your greatest basketball player at any gym, any court, anywhere. You can go to Rucker Park. Those guys, those aren't G League players. Those are street ball players.
Right.
G League players eat them up. This guy was the MVP of the G League and won the finals MVP of the G League and did not set foot on the court. Mm-hmm. 1 second.
Yeah, do you think that's just the difference with the NBA players versus fringe guys? And even guys, like, they're guys
it's the level of play.
They're guys on benches.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? They're like, that guy.
They can kill you. I mean, they'd kill any normal Joe Blow playing basketball. And that's just, I mean, that's how crazy it is to get to that level. And sticking with basketball, tonight was the draft lottery.
The Zion Williams lottery?
Zion Williams lottery.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun.
He's going to New Orleans.
He is
going
to go to New Orleans.
Do you think that makes, what's his eyebrow name, Anthony?
Anthony Davis expendable?
No, I mean, do you think that makes him want to stick around?
It might.
Yeah, I mean, right? You get that guy coming in. He's the real deal, right?
I guess. Well, here's the thing. And
do you think I don't know. We're saying that. Does that game transition to the NBA?
I told Larson this, and I told somebody else this, and for whatever reason, I could be wrong, but maybe it's just my old crotchety guy stuff too. I don't know.
They don't play like they used to.
No, something about Zion. There's something about Zion. I don't think he's going to be that good at the NBA level.
Maybe not.
Something about him. Something about him fails my eye test, but I can't tell you what it is because it's not anything statistically.
You know, we just talked about how the G League and the NBA are so far in talent, right? Even the best G League players can't step on the court in the NBA. I feel that way about college players.
Oh, absolutely.
I feel like it is so difficult to evaluate college players because, especially the one-and-done guys, because you get to see them for 1 year. In, you know, a great program. You get to see him in the tournament, so on and so forth. He had some injuries, but I mean, he was great all season long. But who is he playing against? And who is he going to be playing against next year? Will he be that great next year? Because he is, I mean, we just called it the Zion Williams lottery draft, right? Because that's what everybody is.
That's what everybody called it.
Same thing as LeBron James when he came out, so on and so forth. There have been many times where there's been the guy, and this guy is the guy for this draft. Does his game translate? I don't know, but I think I find it very difficult to judge college versus pro talent. I mean, look at Steph Curry, for example, with the Davidson, right?
Right. He was nothing. You would expect nothing.
He was a player. He had a tournament run and so on and so forth, but still, like you.
When he was a little skinny kid that was shooting from halfway across the
who
gym.
Who would have expected?
You're like, there's no way he can do that.
Yeah,
at the pros.
Exactly. Does that game translate? Right. Exactly. He didn't seem as athletic as he does now.
Right.
A guy that just shoots threes at a small college doesn't play against the big boys.
Kevin Durant at University of Texas was a stick.
Yeah, but he was also a stud. He could shoot from everywhere.
Scoring his ass off.
The Steph Curry is really interesting because that's a small school, a guy that doesn't fit the, you know, you talk about eye test.
Absolutely.
He is not the eye test. Not out of college. Anyways, small college. Yeah, he's got a pro for a dad, which, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, I think if you have a parent as a pro, you have, you know, like a head start on everybody else.
You have, I think you have an advantage. But I mean, I also
not
think
only genetically, but probably just like.
I think you're also, you are under such a microscope, it may be detrimental.
Hold on, but think about this. Steph Curry's dad was good. Del Curry was good, but he wasn't Michael Jordan. Like,
absolutely.
Michael Jordan's son, right. It sucks to be Michael Jordan and LeBron James' son, right?
Absolutely.
Being Del Curry's son's not that bad, especially if you just want to be Steph and shoot a bunch of three balls and go to Davidson. You know what I mean? He didn't go to UCLA or Michigan.
Or his brother went to Duke.
He's playing now, too. What's his name? Steven? Or?
Seth.
Yeah, Seth. There you go. Steph and Seth. There you go. He's still in the playoffs. That's right. Oh, they're playing. No.
They're playing each other.
Yeah, that's right. I forget about that. There was a story about that the other day. So, anyways, yeah, we're kind of on the. I think we're in agreement with probably most of this that, first and foremost, the Rockets have a lot of work to do, but I don't know where they're going to go, and rebuilding is not the answer. I'm not sure this Zion Williams translates to the pros, but that's who everybody wants, and we'll see what happens with Anthony Davis. You know, I think that. The Pelicans basically gave him the middle finger when he said to trade me, right?
Right. Well, and so tonight I didn't watch the draft lottery, but I did see the still frame of whoever went up to accept the draft lottery winning for the Pelicans, and it was a picture of Zion. It wasn't a number one. It wasn't anything. It was a picture of Zion.
Oh, really?
That's what they walked up with.
So it's like, yeah, we already got a guy.
Of course you do.
Yeah,
I mean,
okay.
And I get it. Listen, when Greg Oden came out, he was the guy.
Greg Oden, man, there was a joke about.
Do you remember him, right?
I do remember Greg Oden,
the guy that was.
He went
to
Portland.
He went to Portland.
Let me tell you
number one overall pick.
Can I tell you something funny? A funny story about that.
Please.
I don't know who it was, but there was this. There's a radio show in Houston that used to do this. It was a draft, right? It was like a Seinfeldian draft. It was like a sports draft where you could just draft. You know what I mean? You just draft stuff, for example, right?
Okay.
So, somebody drafted Greg Oden between the waist and the knees. And that's the only thing I remember him for, because his basketball career was absolutely garbage.
Right. Then I'll always think about, other than him going number one, was there was a Saturday Night Live that Will Ferrell hosted, and Greg Oden was a special guest.
Greg Oden looked 45 when he was drafted.
Yeah, and so on that intro, Will Ferrell says, I want Greg Oden to sit me down on his knee and tell me about the olden days.
Oh, shit.
Because
he would
was
know.
Growing up.
Jesus
right.
Christ. That guy's, he's 100 years old. His rookie year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, have you seen him lately, by the way?
No.
Oh, my goodness. Those wrinkles on his forehead. Like, I got wrinkles on my forehead now, but those things are.
What is he doing now? Is he not playing, is he?
No, he's. No clue.
He's probably sitting like $40 million.
You see him on a bench somewhere. He's not ever.
Oh.
He's not actually. Like, he's one of the guys behind the bench. So maybe he's an assistant.
A coach or something.
A special
assistant.
Him.
Yeah. Listen, anybody need lessons on how to be tall? Because I can teach you how to be tall.
I'm going to show you how to box out here.
Yeah. No. I don't really know how to do that, but
right.
I can show you to be tall. That's
what,
about as.
What we're not going to do is jump or run or move.
Oh, we could jump, not very high.
Well, I don't have to jump.
Yeah.
I'm 7'2",
yeah.
So I just reach up and touch the rim.
Yeah. Number one draft pick. Right?
He's number one draft pick by Portland. Got a bunch of money. Played for about 14 seconds.
That's a bummer. Hey, how about this? Do you consider Yao Ming a bust overall?
No, I think Yao Ming was unfortunate.
Injury prone.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Greg Oden's the same way, right?
Right.
Is that the same thing? But he played. Yao Ming played.
Yao Ming, listen, Yao Ming.
Couple
didn't,
years.
Didn't he actually just get inducted in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, but he got inducted for the Hall because he's the first Chinese.
Right,
and
I think it was kind of crazy. I don't think his numbers warranted it. However, I say that with bated breath, and I put a comma right there. Listen, I get it. Yao Ming was doing things that were amazing, especially not just because
that guy?
He could shoot.
He could actually shoot. Yeah,
he had a touch, and he was the Great Wall. Because truth be told, you couldn't move the guy. It wasn't about. It wasn't because he moved laterally so well. It was just how big
he
was. He
was big. He
can
actually shoot.
Right, and you couldn't get
and
around
him. He had a little
him.
Bit of finesse. He was a little more Capella, less Shaq. You know what I mean? He was not Thunder like Shaq was, and he played kind of on the tail end of that kind of era of like right now, big men are finesse guys. Like Clint Capella is one of the better ones in the league. We think after the last series, we may have to reevaluate that. But he is one of the better. Anyways, let me move on to the point. The point is the big man, the five, the center position is now more of a finesse position,
and
right?
It's becoming a stretch five and a finesse position versus a banger.
Like, there's no back to the basket. You know what I mean? Dump the ball down low. That Shaquille O'Neal, Hakeem Olajuwon kind of style of play is gone.
Well, it's been forced to change because if you want to play with the champs, you got to score with the champs.
Well,
and the champs
and
don't
also
do that
the league has changed too. Right. The rules of
you're allowed to beat the shit out of people in the lane in the paint,
and
it's still
and
fair.
They,
but
well, it's,
but
they
touch
really
fouls
pro- they really
outside.
Protect the perimeter guys for Absolutely. Sure. We saw that in game one when everybody's chirping about, you know, a guy just standing in your landing zone and how that's supposed to be a foul. And yes, it is a foul according to the rules, but in a lot of ways, it's like, get over your fucking self. Make a shot. You know, stop looking for a foul on a lot of those. And I'm not saying that for this particular series. I'm just saying that generally speaking.
Sure. Yeah, I mean,
the game has gotten quite soft. Listen, a lot of sports have gotten soft. Talk about football all day long. It's gotten soft. But you know, it is what it is. The game has changed. For centers especially, I don't know why I brought the Yao Ming thing in, because we're talking about Greg Oden. I guess we're talking about bust. I don't think Yao Ming's a bust either.
I don't think
either.
Yao Ming was a bust.
I don't think he lived up to all his potential. But it was pretty neat watching him, and he was a pretty special talent for what he did bring to the game. He was antithetical to what big men were at that point.
He's just a behemoth. If you go back, and I know we've looked at it before, and for those of you listening, do yourself a favor and Google Yao Ming, J.J. Watt. We'll put a
picture. We should do that. We'll put a picture
on there because
J.J. Watt's a huge man. 6'6", Yao Ming 295. Makes J.J. Watt look like a little boy.
Like a child.
Yeah.
Like a child. But again, now this is post-playing weight Yao Ming. So I imagine at 7'6", the way he looks there, he's probably 435 pounds, 440 pounds.
Yeah.
But at 7'6", when you're 440, you're not a fat guy. You're just a humongous human being.
Yeah. J.J. Watt's a humongous human being.
Yeah. Yao is
a giant.
He's even bigger.
He's from a different world, maybe.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
All right, so let's stop talking about basketball. Let's move on to the Astros.
Right,
we'll hit this
hold
real quick.
On, let's do this.
Oh.
One more. This is to the Astros, or the Astros, to the Rockets season.
Okay,
one more loss.
Cheers to that.
Cheers to that. Put it down.
I don't know why. I don't really want to cheers
to
the Rockets.
No, we're having a toast to it and putting it to bed.
Okay. Bye-bye. All right, so the Astros are hot as fuck.
Dude, they're killing it tonight.
Who pitched tonight? I didn't see the game.
Wade Miley.
Okay, he's been really, really, really good.
He was pissed.
He's got a little bit more.
He went six innings, gave up four.
Did he really?
So he didn't get the quality start.
And
he gave
also,
up four runs.
This is his first time to give up four runs in like 40 something starts or something crazy like that.
And it was a 2-run shot in the sixth.
Oh man, I did not watch the game. That's unfortunate. So you know, I think going into the season, the question was, okay, what's going on with Keiko? We need a left-handed pitcher. We got this Wade Miley guy. I was like, oh man, look at his stats. You know, nothing exciting really. And he has been really good.
Can I tell you the truth about him though too? Beginning of the season, I would agree with everything you just said. His stats didn't blow me away.
Yeah.
But you know what I looked at and I took away from it just on the surface? See, because I know I'm in the minority here. I was not a Keuchel fan. I'm still not really a Keuchel fan. And I appreciate what Keuchel did when he was here, when he won his Cy Young. But in the last couple of years beyond that, Dallas Keuchel has become more of a liability than a weapon.
Okay, but listen.
So
Dallas Keuchel's stats Dallas Keuchel's stats are legit. He does have a Cy Young. He is a legit pitcher. And he was, I mean, if you'd assigned him, you'd feel good going into that. I'm talking about preseason.
Preseason,
right?
I still was okay with him not being on the roster.
You and I look at this going, okay, would you rather have Wade Miley or have Dallas Keuchel? We're going to say Dallas Keuchel. We're going to say it. At this point in the season, we're barely 2 months in, and we're going, Keuchel who?
Well, that's a preseason.
You can stay in California and throw soft toss to your buddies all fucking day long. I'll fucking take Wade Miley because he's a fucking gamer. And I guarantee he's not going to pull.
I told you that, though. I don't know that I would have agreed with you on that because, again, I'm not a Keuchel fan.
Hold on. No way. Before you knew anything about Wade Miley, you think
well,
you would
we
have
had
said
him.
That's what I'm saying.
Sure.
I'm saying before the season, you would have said, who's this Wade Miley guy, right? I mean, look at his stats. It's not that impressive. You just said, man, we really need to sign Keuchel. I'm telling you right now, it's Keuchel who?
Sure.
Wade Miley is legit.
Wade Miley's tearing him up.
Yes, he's legit. He's good. But listen, what I'm impressed with is his attitude. He gets out there and pitches. He's like the fastest pitcher to the plate, right?
16
he
seconds,
does not
18
give a
seconds
shit.
Between
he
pitches.
Is like, come on, motherfucker. I'm ready. Are you ready? I'll throw it.
Actually, I don't care if you're ready. I'm throwing. So.
Yeah, and I like that. Not that Keuchel wasn't like a fast pitcher, but I mean, there's just an attitude there. Keuchel just seemed kind of a bit of a finesse guy, a little bit of, you know, and Wade Miley's got a little bit more tude to him. He's got a little more attitude, and I like that.
They were talking about something else tonight. After he gets pulled, he goes... Obviously, everybody will go into the clubhouse, right?
Mm.
And most pitchers...
They'll punch him back or something.
Will
like
go
that.
In there. No, most pitchers will go in there and stay.
Oh, yeah. Take a shower and... Yeah.
Miley never does. He'll go in there, go take a piss, and he comes out, and he just paces up and down the dugout at that point and watches.
Yeah.
Not because, I mean, obviously not because we're losing tonight. When he gets pulled, it's, you know, it's 9-4 and we're killing him.
Yeah.
He just, that's, again, it's part of that attitude.
I'm telling you, there's something to that.
It's a focus.
Because, listen, you look at the other guys in the team, the Bregman, the Springer, Altuve a little less, Correa a little bit more. But, I mean, there is something about the clubhouse or something about the oomph that goes along with that team that I really appreciate. And there, and not that Keuchel didn't fit that, but you can see Wade is much more of a gamer. You know what I mean? It's
absolutely.
Like he's getting after it. The other thing I was going to say, or the other person I think that fits that kind of mold is Chirinos, the catcher they picked up. Statistically wise, you know, you may have gotten worse. You know what I mean? Maybe not. I don't know. What's the guy's name? I forget the catcher we had last year.
Brian McCann.
Yeah. Brian McCann, you liked him because he was a great plate manager. You know, he handled pitchers well, so on and so forth. But his bat got way cold, way late, and there was a bit of an injury issue last year. They picked up Chirinos, who his bat, you know, you never thought his bat was going to be good, although he's hitting home runs out of the park. But he is a great pitcher's catcher, and he can throw guys out, and he's got one of those dudes, man. He's
got an attitude.
He's one of those guys that he loves the ball out, and man, I will take a guy that loves the ball. I will take Springer's attitude and swinging for the fences and missing every once in a while over these fucking milquetoast guys that just, you know what I mean?
Speaking of Springer, I want to acknowledge what's going on with George Springer this year, first of all. Springer leads the league in hits,
yeah,
home
RBIs.
Runs.
Oh, home runs as well?
RBIs and slugging. After tonight...
From the leadoff spot, playing center field.
Leadoff spot. Springer has 53 hits, 15 home runs, batting average is .323. He's scored 36 runs.
Yeah.
He's got 38 ribbies. He's slugging .652.
He seems like he's just getting better every year.
They threw up a stat tonight. In the last 20 seasons, through this many games, 42 games,
mm-hmm.
Do you know who else has put up numbers like that? Hits, home runs, RBIs, and runs
scored? Pujols.
Jim Thome.
Okay.
Alex Rodriguez,
okay,
and Ken Griffey Jr.
Jr.
That's the entire list.
There you go. And he's probably the third or fourth, fifth best player on this team, you know, offensively.
But he's phenomenal from that one hole.
Yeah,
he's a three-hole hitter.
Yeah.
Hitting out of your leadoff spot.
And Brantley has been a huge pickup. Hey, can I stop right here? You know what? Let's do this right here. I would like to drink to Jeff Luhnow. Listen, Daryl Morey is really good as a general manager. Jeff Luhnow is on another level.
Switched magician hats.
It was addition by subtraction. Think about it. Keuchel gone, Wade Miley in, we're better. Marwin, who I love, out. Brantley in, we're better.
Yeah.
Also, you had Aridamis Diaz as your middle infielder because, you know, you lost a little bit with Marwin. He had a grand slam the other night. Yeah. I mean, they're just better. They're so good. Yeah, and I was worried about the catcher position. Trinus has been good. Max Stassi, you know, is a compliment.
Stassi's getting to play. He's getting fill-in.
That's fine. That's fine. I think the Great White Shark is probably...
He's struggling.
His time is going to come sooner or later.
I think he's going to lose his spot to Diaz.
Well, I told you this. I mentioned this last time, but he has limited options. So they're going to give him a good long run at the majors because I think if he goes down one more time, then it's like...
Well, I think neither he nor Tony Kemp have any more stint at minor league ball.
Meaning if you can't go back down to minors, you just get released at a certain point. So
correct.
I think that's what's going on with them. I still like Kemp because he can steal a base.
Tony Kemp got
He can also play some defense. White, what's his first name?
Tyler.
Tyler White is limited defensively.
First base
designated. If he's
hitter.
Not hitting, he's a dud. Well, but it's like even these guys being kind of underperforming, it doesn't matter because they've been so good everywhere
else.
The
team is tearing them up. And we had Jeff Bagwell in the box the other night with Tom Callis or Todd Callis and Blummer. And they were talking specifically about Tyler White. And what was great was to hear both Blummer and Bagwell talk about Tyler's at-bats.
Yeah.
And I was as we're watching tonight, I'm telling Nicole, I said, look at him. You can see this is what they're talking about. He's not even lining up shoulder square.
Yeah.
He's got his shoulders set to pull, but the problem is that he's gained weight, first of all. Let's just call
it.
He gained weight from last year to this year, and he cannot get his hips through with his shoulders in sync. He's getting his shoulders ahead of his hips, so he's getting his bat way out ahead, but he can't cover the outside part of the plate.
You know, his ultimate deal is he's just too streaky to really be.
Yeah,
we talked a few minutes ago about the G League to, you know, the NBA.
Right.
And from AAA to the majors, sometimes guys just don't get it. A.J. Reed was a guy for the Astros a couple years ago, a first baseman, who he had –
He's
you know,
killing AAA.
The eye test, we talked about the eye test the other day, or earlier, that he crushed it. It was a big left-handed slugger who absolutely destroyed AAA pitching.
I mean, he was, what, 30 home runs in AAA?
Gets to the majors,
hit
and he can't bat over 210.
One home run.
And, you know, there's a phrase for these guys. They call them 4A players.
Yeah.
And it's just that they are just middling guys on major league teams, but they crush it in AAA. Well, the competition is just different.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So Tyler White may
different.
Ultimately end up being one of those guys. You know, he's a nice guy, and he's so streaky. You just kind of, man, you like to keep him around because he will pop a home run here and there. He will get hot at the right time.
By the way, speaking of home runs, he has none this year.
No, I know, but there's a couple minor leaguers that are probably gonna knock on the door, and he's gonna get cut eventually.
I think Tony Kemp stays.
You can keep Kemp around because he can play some defense and
he can
steal a base.
He can steal bases. He's a pinch runner. He's good. Jake Mariznick gets to sub in.
Oh, he's been hitting too. He got hit yesterday.
He got hit and then he hit a home run.
Oh, is that what happened? I saw him get hit and I didn't get.
Yeah, he hit a home run after that. So,
all right. So Astros are hot AF.
They're killing it, loving it. That makes.
What makes the Rockets losing not so like depressing? Because you're not going to have the dog days of summer. You're going to have to actually get to watch some interesting stuff.
The
Astros are so fucking good. Listen, we haven't even talked about a trade potential. Listen, you don't even know where there's a hole in the team right now. There's not one. You have your closer. You have your setup closer situation figured
Lockdown.
Out with Presley and Osuna. Osuna had a little bit of trouble a couple days ago, but Josh Reddick freaking stole a couple home runs back-to-back nights.
Fucking Hunter Pence trying to show off over there for the Arlington Rangers.
Yeah, no, isn't that crazy? And you know he's got a World Series win with San Francisco.
And with the Phillies.
Oh, that's right. You know what? We did trade him to the Phillies. I forgot all about
He's got two suit World Series.
That's
but
right.
Not as an Astro.
Yeah, we're gonna.
And I tell you what, I would love for him to come back.
Nah, we're gonna play him.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, you're not.
I don't know, but
it's him or Josh Reddick.
I like his energy.
You like him or Josh Reddick?
I don't know.
Josh
Reddick. Woo!
I know, man. I like that too.
He was on fire today.
Brantley has been another guy. You know what? And Brantley, the funny thing about Brantley is he doesn't fit the mold of these high energy locker room guys. He is just cool as the other side of the pillow. But man, can that guy hit?
They threw up stats yesterday.
That guy can rake, watching. Man.
It was him. It was
Jeff Luhnow again, man. Fuck.
Manny Machado. It was Bryce Harper, and then I forget the fourth guy. The other three were giant free agents in the preseason.
Oh, yeah? Like
right?
big.
Obviously, Machado and Bryce Harper are $600 million,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. 10 years,
but
big, big
But you know
bills.
Who's killing them this
Brantley.
Year statistically?
2 years, like 2 years, $30 million or something like that?
Brantley has a higher batting average, slugging, OPS, home runs, and RBIs. He's got more than all of them. You know that
he
actually
can also play a good left
he's
field.
He's battling with George Springer
for
RBI lead in the majors right now.
I know. And not even consider Bregman and
right.
Correa
and
Altuve.
Altuve's hurt and you know, Breggy's doing his thing.
And fucking El Pena at first base is just like, okay, I'm just going to fucking bat like 290. And
right, he's only got three home runs.
Kidding
but
me?
It's like, dude, this is a fun,
it's,
fun,
it's. I think
fun
it's this
team's
better than last year.
I think so.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break right now. We'll go freshen up the drinks and we'll get back to you guys. And we're back. Okay, so...
Welcome back with fresh cocktails.
Yeah, so, you know, we take this break in the middle. I got to give a little inside radio here. we actually did take a break. So if I sound a little more inebriated, it's because I had a whiskey and a half in the break. And now we've tapped into the Blanton. So that's really why we're all happy. But
it's delicious, by the way.
We take a break about halfway through so we can make more cocktails. And so we don't ruin the show for you guys. But I really want to bring this up, Nick, because I think this is... hilarious. I don't know. Hilarious. Is that the right word for this? Yeah, it is. So I preface this.
Ironic? Definitely ironic.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I'll let you guys decide. So here's the deal. There's a drug dealer who's got to make it to court. Like, that's the deal. He got caught trying to sell, I think, a pound of cocaine. He's got pounds of cocaine. But there's a little bit of a...
I believe the preferred vernacular is kilo.
No, that's what I'm saying. I think they described it as a pound, but that's what I thought.
Silly
people. I thought because cocaine's metric, right?
Or definitely. Yeah, whatever. It's clearly metric.
So here's the deal, Nick. The guy's 900 pounds. 900 pounds.
One more time.
Yeah, 900 pounds. Okay, so first of all, the guy is in this, I don't know, he got a conspiracy to sell cocaine Let's see. Hicks was charged with cocaine conspiracy for planning to distribute more than a pound of cocaine between 2013 and 2017. I don't know if that means combined over those years.
Well, I say, well, that's not that much.
Here's the deal. First and foremost, the first funny part about this is the cocaine dealer is 900 pounds. So
he's clearly not getting high on his own supply. Yeah,
exactly. That's what I was going to say.
Right?
Good job on passing rule number one on drug selling. Don't get high on your own supply.
Yeah.
But rule number two just should be don't be 900 pounds. But here's the deal. So the judge is like, you got to appear in court because you got to appear in court. They did like a video thing the first time,
like
but they
Skype,
were like,
Skype
yeah,
court.
Like, listen, you got to appear in court. So the judge authorized them to, the guy lives in a mobile home. They basically authorized him to cut down trees and cut a hole in the mobile home
to get him out
in order to get this mofo to court. Yeah, they're going to haul him in.
So, like, are you put him in a box truck or what?
In an ambulance. They think he'll fit an ambulance. He'll squeeze in. And they're going to arraign him, I think, on the dock of the...
the dock of the bay.
Yeah, on the dock of the bay. Yeah. Good job not getting high on your own supply. Maybe he should just, like, dabble in it or something. Let me ask you a very not-so-serious question here. How does a motherfucker get to 900 pounds? That's some serious effort, I think.
What was the guy? He did the show, or he made that he made a movie, and then they made a TV show for him for a while on FX. Supersize Me.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Okay, that sounds familiar.
That guy, Morgan Spurlock. There it is.
Oh, he was the guy that went
30 days for nothing but McDonald's.
Good for him.
And it was breakfast, lunch, and dinner, just McDonald's. He did eat the salad.
How much did he gain?
He gained over 30 pounds in 30 days.
Oh, wow.
But he was eating nothing but McDonald's, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
God bless him.
Which, obviously, I mean, that's just nasty. Sorry. It's no good. Mm. I don't think McDonald's will ever sponsor us, by the way.
Yeah. Okay, so here's something I need to bring up to you.
I don't know. It's that or, so Benicio Del Toro in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, when he was the fat Samoan attorney. What he said he did to gain weight for that role, because he gained like 100 pounds.
Oh, really?
He said he was eating 24 donuts a day.
Wow.
For a couple months.
Could you imagine that being your job? Like, hey, I need you to bulk up.
Right. Actually, I need you to not bulk. I need you to get fat.
Yeah, fat. And by bulk up, I mean like just in the, fat.
Just being
in
large,
the fat areas.
Big guy. So,
two dozen here's
donuts.
We're going to feed you 2 dozen donuts in the morning. I mean, it'd be work to eat that much. You got to like actually put some effort into eat it. Maybe just get fat and hungry.
The first couple of days, I mean, think about it. Okay, I can have a couple donuts.
The guy's 48, by the way.
Dozen donuts.
48 years.
So, again, clearly he didn't get to 900 pounds in 5 seconds. But,
no.
I mean, that's a long time of... that is the epitome of the word apathy.
Yeah. It's the epitome of the word gluttony. I don't know.
That works, too.
I don't... Man, we're speculating. This might... He probably has a thyroid problem or something. We probably shouldn't make fat jokes. This is probably insensitive. God dang it. Tadatus is really, really above board. And we really don't make fun of people's appearances. Even the fat ones. We don't make fun of the fatties and their appearances.
All I was speculate how you got to be 900.
That's a lot of weight. Let me ask you a question, Nick. So, we're mostly anti, like, the drug war and, you know, whatever you do in the privacy of your own home is what you do in the privacy of your own home.
Sure.
Think about this, right? If this guy gets convicted, he's going to be in jail. Yeah, right?
Technically, sure.
But I guess where I'm getting to is, couldn't they just leave the guy in the trailer? Isn't that prison enough? I mean, the guy's not going anywhere.
Clearly.
He's literally not going
anywhere.
Like, when he tells the judge, listen, judge, I promise I'll be on house arrest. I won't go anywhere. He means it. I mean,
right.
He really means it.
Yeah, he can't.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'd have to hire people to move me places. People have to bring me shit to eat. I don't even know where else to go with this story, Nick. It's just so amazing that the guy's 900 pounds and also that he's being convicted of selling cocaine. I don't know where to go with this. Here's where I'll go with this, Nick. First and foremost, Tadatus is nothing if not a podcast that is dedicated. We've dedicated our lives once a month to solving the world's problems. And I think there might be a guy that's really got this figured out. So the story is out of Manchester. I think that's in England. I think that's jolly old.
That's correct.
And so this guy's brilliant. What he's done is the city has a lot of potholes, right? Houston also has a lot of potholes. I don't know if you know this or not, but
we've hit one or 14.
Yeah. So he's got a solution. Is he out there with black tar filling in the potholes or sand or something like that? No, not quite. Has he petitioned politicians? Has he protested? Almost. He's doing something quite unique, and I'm all about it. And what he's doing is he's painting or drawing penises or cocks, if you will, around the potholes. And so the city is so upset that these cocks are on the road that they're actually fixing the potholes.
So he's the hero that we all need.
No, I mean, this guy may be the most brilliant person in the entire world. And I think we should extend this idea into pretty much all aspects of life.
Anything you don't like,
think about this. Think about this. Like, okay, city, you want to fix a pothole? Let's just draw some cocks. Somebody's so offended, not offended by the potholes that are ruining tires and cars and all this, but they are offended about the cocks. And they're not even like brilliant cocks. It's not like they're, you know, he didn't like put any hair on the balls or anything. It's nothing. It's really simple cocks.
Rudimentary.
Yeah, rudimentary. Thank you, sir. And, you know, the rudimentary cocks are getting the job done, frankly.
That's all it needed, right?
It didn't
even have balls.
Ladies.
It had balls, right?
Yeah, they do have balls. Of course, balls. You can't have a cock without balls. But listen, I think this goes to show, there's a couple things that I can take away from this. One is that average cocks do get the job done, ladies. There's that. Average drawn cocks do get the job done. But also government is only motivated by cocks on the ground. So if you draw cocks somewhere where you need some shit done, I guess the government's going to step up and fix it. Which makes me think we should have a new segment on Tadatas called "What Would Cocks Drawn on Something Fix?"
Or what would you draw a cock on?
Yeah, to fix it. Yeah. Right. So, do you have anything that you'd like to draw a cock on, Nick? That would fix it.
Donald Trump's face.
Okay, that's a good one. I vote for the Texans offensive line. Can I draw a cock on
Bill
on
the, O'Brien?
Yeah, Bill O'Brien. O'Brien gets a big old cock.
Him.
You know, his head kind of does look like a penis head, so you probably just need
like a booty chin.
Oh,
too?
His face is just made from
like
making
he's
a cock
got the
out
booty
of
chin, right? So you can put the nuts right above his
Listen,
lips.
I feel fully confident if you made his face into a cock, that Texans administration would be firing him in a heartbeat and having a less cock faced. did I get you with that one?
You did.
A less cock faced
coach,
head
a
coach.
Less
anything else? You know, you could probably draw a cock over the entire Rockets organization right now.
I'm going to exclude James Harden and PJ Tucker from that penis.
You know what?
Drawing.
They probably get some hair from the cock drawing.
No, they're right there by the ball.
They're taint adjacent.
Yeah.
Not quite in the ball area, not quite in the anus.
Just there.
Just right in the taint.
Nuts in your face. Nuts in your face.
I'm so glad this podcast happened so we could talk about fucking drawing cocks on things.
It's a great idea, though. No, I appreciate this. Like I said, he's the hero we all need.
Yeah.
There's countless times you read that, or I feel like I read that, and only occasionally do they really strike a chord. And this one, I think, has found it, and it's only because he's hit a nerve with enough people by drawing a simple phallic symbol on the road. And I don't know which one I like more. Are you telling the city to go fuck yourself, or the city you're a bunch of dicks, or suck my dick, or suck my balls? I mean, there's a plethora of options here.
Yeah.
He's giving them. The point is, it's working.
Yeah.
So if we,
your management of our streets, literally sucks cock
and balls. Here's some balls.
Have I showed you the pictures? The pictures are—I mean, it's not great. Cock and balls. I'm just.
Wow, that is very rudimentary.
Listen, I took a seventh grade art class, and frankly, my cocks.
So you've
and
seen
balls.
The movie? Oh, geez, what's the one with McLovin? You know what I'm talking about.
I do know what you're talking about. It's called something. Keep
Super
going.
Bad. Super Bad.
That's it.
Super Bad. Remember in Superbad, Jonah Hill's character has this whole thing. The reason he doesn't like that girl Jules is because she caught him. He used to have an obsession with drawing dicks, but his dicks that he drew were not just rudimentary sketches.
Oh, they were
a child.
Veiny and
hairy. They looked real.
Yeah,
they looked real.
Oh, real, but they looked.
They looked pretty real.
He put effort into it. I think that's what he's trying to say. Yeah.
Sure, there was a lot of effort in.
Not
that.
Half-assing. Not,
this, this
we're not half-balling the.
That's a terrible drawing, a terrible painting. But
do you think he's under pressure there?
Is it peeing a little bit though?
Yeah, I think it's. I don't know if that's peeing. That's something else.
Oh, that's something else. It's a white.
It's a family show, so I can't say ejaculation.
It's a white.
If I could say ejaculation, I would.
Seminiferous fluid.
What's your word for ejaculation? Nut, cum, spooge. Anyways, moving on.
It's actually high fructose corn syrup.
Oh, I like that one. I'll take that. That wasn't even planned. That was a good joke. This podcast is so stupid. What are you doing listening to this? Go do something with your ass. Go read a book, people. Speaking of that, do you have any books?
I've been reading some books. You're reading some books. We'll get to that. What we get into.
Making a joke about how stupid this podcast is because we're basically going to spend the next 20 minutes talking about dicks.
I don't know if we're going to talk about dicks anymore. I feel like the moment has passed.
Give me one more. Can I tell you something?
Has it come and gone?
Listen, I think that someone should draw a cock around Game of Thrones and the last episode.
Oh, okay. So I feel like, socially remiss. If
is that a good segue?
Definitely. So for those of you that don't know, podcast listeners, Tadatus fans, I want you to know, first of all, you can send all your hate mail to at Tadatus because
Tadatus Pod, that's where we're at on the tours.
I have officially watched 4 episodes of your beloved show ever. Season 1, episode 1, 2, and 3. And then I did watch this, whatever the battle episode was.
The Battle of Winterfell.
The Battle of Winterfell, where the Night King gets stabbed by...
Arya.
Well, I know her name is Arya. There's actually, I don't know if you've seen this, Nicole has showed me this several times, and it's some gay comedian who has his own, he'll do his own, not even a reinvention, he narrates the day after, and he'll have a celebrity with him. Like the last one I saw, he had Gabrielle Union with him.
Okay.
And he was talking about, he calls Arya Baby Kill Bill.
Baby Kill Bill.
Baby Kill Bill.
Okay.
I forget what he was calling the Night King, but if you haven't watched it, it's
funny.
Fucking hilarious. Okay. Anyway, so that episode though, the Battle of Winterfell, I actually watched it
start to finish.
Okay, that's the 4th.
Were you
episode.
Kind of excited because the hype? You heard enough hype. You're like, you know, I'm gonna check this thing out.
I was interested. I will openly admit that I was interested.
You know the plot
line.
My wife
has come out. Because I don't watch it doesn't mean I don't know everything about it. My wife comes out every episode.
Okay, so let me tell you what happened.
Yeah. And comes out and gives me. Basically, I'm Dr. Phil for her after the episode, just listening to her and walking her through.
Oh, yeah. And that happened. Oh, yeah. Really? Oh.
All I got to do is ask a couple questions, set them up, so I'm not.
I saw a meme the other day, and it was like, you pay me $250 an hour, I'll pretend I'm your marriage counselor, and I'll tell your wife that she's wrong all the time.
That's a great idea. Let's put a pin in that. Holy shit.
Oh, shit. I probably shouldn't say that off air, right? That's a good idea. It's like thinking about that. You're paying $150 for the other guy. I'll just tell you, you're right all the time.
Wow.
Really, babe, more blowjobs would be good. I'm a doctor. I'm a doctor. All right, so Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. So I watched that episode, and, you know, what I found amusing after.
That was the episode before the last one. It
was the Battle of Winterfell. It was the one where it was all dark, where the Dothraki die in about 4 seconds when
A lot of them do. Apparently, some of them make it because they're still in the next episode.
Melisandre, the Red Witch, sets their blades on fire. That episode,
turns back into the old bitch. And dies.
All that one. That's the one I saw. That's the 4th episode.
It was good. It was a pretty good episode. I think.
I enjoyed it, but what I saw the next day on social media and what Nicole follows way more groups on that.
Yeah.
Everybody was so mad because it was so dark and it was hard to see and this and that.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, well, what'd you expect?
I didn't get all that.
To immerse you into the episode and make you feel like you're there. I mean, it was chaos.
I didn't struggle to see. That didn't bother me. That episode was way
better. I enjoyed it.
That episode was better than the very last.
To see it because when she told me it was leading up to the next episode is going to be the battle. Well, fuck! I want to see what happens with the Night King.
Okay.
And I thought.
But did you not want to see the episode after that to see what happens next?
Nope.
Okay. I saw the Night King. A lot of people thought that's how the show should have ended. That should have been the final battle because that was a bigger threat. You know, they should have flipped the roles now, you know, obviously they went down to the Red Keep to King's Landing and you heard about what happened next.
Oh, I know.
Spoiler alert.
She
torched the whole fucking.
Yeah. She's burned the whole place down. Cersei and what's his butter.
So people are very pissed about this season. First of all, there was the coffee cup in the last episode. You heard about that. That was a big scandal, right? Look, how do you mess that up? That's tough to mess up, right?
That's just bad editing.
Yeah. Right. Somebody's got to catch that.
For as long as they've been working on this season, for as long as they've had to put it out,
yeah,
you've got to find that.
So
and
there's,
even if it's not, you have to know that going back and editing, you have to watch frame by frame.
Somebody's
got to
be in
picture.
Charge of that, right?
And even if it's not, and let's just say for argument's sake, it wasn't a Starbucks cup. The way the light hit it, the way the image was there, it's there. That's what it
so
is.
So you're saying that some people said it wasn't a Starbucks cup.
I don't care what it was, whether it was or whether it wasn't. Now it's no longer relevant.
It's a mistake,
right.
It was.
That's what it was. It's a mistake that you missed in editing. And now
it's a meme now,
people,
by the way.
Oh, yeah. People have run with that. They've gone nuts. And like I said, whether it was a Starbucks cup or not, whether it had a white lid on it, that doesn't matter. I get it. That would piss me off if I'd spent this much time and dedicated it to this show, which I haven't. So.
Yeah, well, that's okay. And you know, a lot of people's takeaway, and I kind of buy this. I kind of agree with this. Is that once the show passed the books, the writing and I guess the storyline just got really predictable, or less like shock value. And I told someone today. I talked to some guys at work today about how, you know, when I read and also watched The Red Wedding, that blew my mind, right? Because going into that, you're like, you know, you never expected that to happen. You expected them to slaughter every single person in that room, right? They were going there to have a marriage, you know?
Sure.
And so that was George R. Martin. I see like 4 R's in there or something.
I think
so. Yeah. But, you know, so you know, the whole Daenerys getting on the dragon and burning the whole town was like, okay, yeah, you didn't want to do that, but now she did. And okay, but it's a bit predictable. It's a bit Hollywood. It's a bit. I read somewhere on Twitter that there was a scene in the episode you watched where if you pause it in a certain way, it looked like an Avengers, you know, cover. Like it was just like so. It was so Hollywood, you know.
Sure.
And okay, so I told you this earlier, and I'll repeat it. So I quoted a tweet that somebody put, and it says, "Turns out the writers are great at adapting books. Great at adapting books." But they're terrible with writing their original content, and I kind of vibe that because the storyline has just been kind of it's just been okay this season.
So, but my question ruining is a great. Right, so, well, my question is though. So, for those of you that have actually sat down and spent the time not only watching the show but reading the books haven't ended yet,
right?
So, where does George R.R.R. Martin?
Those only three. Shiver Me Timbers.
Where does George Martin take this?
I don't know. I read today that
is he going to change it from the TV show?
No, they interviewed him and was like, you know, can you listen to anything on the ending? And he's like, well, I consulted on the ending. And I told him how I wanted to end it. But he told him like 3 or 4 years ago, like how he was going to end it. Like he had the ending in mind. He was trying to get there.
Sure, I'm sure he has.
And then
I
don't know if he got writer's block or just like the show was just ramped up so much that it was too fast for him, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, this show's been going on for a long time.
Yeah, 8 or 10 years, something like that.
I think it's a decade.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, exactly. But you know, the show had to go on. The show was way more valuable and they had to write it. I just think that the original concept was brilliant. The crazy twists and turns. I mean, think about Ned Stark in the first episode, and this happens in the first book too. In the first episode, he's like the hero. He is, you know, who he is the hero of the story. You're supposed to like him, and he gets murdered. You know, he gets his head chopped off.
Right? Yeah.
Early on in the show, and you're like, holy shit, how do you take the hero out of the show that early? That was George R. Martin. George R. Martin.
Yeah.
And now
I
it's these other.
So hard to say.
I know. These other dweebs are just. They're just running out. Also, these guys. Hold on, I got their names here somewhere. They are in charge of the next Star Wars adaptation, and people are pissed about that. Like, no, you kidding me?
So J.J. Abrams is not doing.
Well, I don't.
Star
I don't
Wars.
Know if it's like Star Wars the next 3 episodes or something. I don't
or
know.
Or the ones that they announced this other day that are
in
2024.
There's a new. There's a new Star Wars something or other, and these guys are pegged to do it. I guess because you know.
Okay. So. Follow me with this, if you will. The irony of it is people are upset about how this show's turned to Hollywood, right? And they don't want the other one to go to Hollywood.
That's my word, by the way.
Okay, I'm okay with that, though. I accept that interpretation because I think you're right. There's a point where they're upset with it. Well, if you're upset with it, then don't go put your money into these movies and keep telling Hollywood it's okay to pump out garbage.
Well, it's easy for you and I to say. Do you watch any of this stuff? I'm anti-Hollywood. I barely watch any movies.
I tell you this. We were talking about it offline earlier when we were making our second drink. I haven't watched any of the Avengers. Yeah. None of them. I mean, let me rephrase that. I watched Iron Man 2 about halfway, and then a part of Iron Man 3. I didn't watch any of the Captain Americas, any of the Thors, any of the Hulks. any of Ant-Man and this and Doctor Strange. Not Doctor Strange. Is it Doctor Strange?
Yep.
Because I always want to say Doctor Strange Love.
That's okay.
Stanley Kubrick.
That's okay. But,
I mean, ultimately, I don't give my money to that because I don't want that shit.
Well, I don't pay for that
it's
either.
Garbage. And
I'll wait for it to get on
TV. If you get mad, if you're mad about something, then stop fucking pumping your money into it.
The nerds can't help themselves, Nick.
Sure they can.
They're going to watch every Star Wars, no matter who makes it, and then just bitch about it.
Well, let's be honest. I'm going to watch every Star Wars, too. I
okay.
It. Yeah.
Okay.
Star Wars, I'll watch.
Star Wars you're into. I haven't watched
Star Wars.
I don't know if I watched the latest one. Have you?
Yeah.
Huh.
So we watched The Force Awakens, we saw in the theater, and then the Last Jedi we saw in the theater, too.
Not me.
We did not go see Rogue
One. Those are shitty movies, too, by the way.
Actually, that's not true. We did see
Did you like them?
I enjoyed them.
No, they're shitty movies.
I enjoyed
them. They're not as good as the originals.
You know why I enjoyed
them? Listen, the original three.
I enjoyed them. There were stories that were entertaining.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 are the best of the entire
You know why I enjoyed them?
The Phantom Menace, that fucking shit sucked.
Sure. Jar Jar Binks, sure.
I watched all of them. I watched those in movie theaters, and I wasn't going to get burned this last time.
I enjoyed them for one simple reason. I found much later, and there's the old man on the porch. Get off my yard. Get off my lawn. No, I go to the movies now. If I'm going to watch a movie at the movie theater, I go for the sheer entertainment of it. It's because I want to be entertained.
Yeah.
One of the last movies we went and saw in the theater was The Meg. About the Megalodon.
All right, that concludes this podcast. This is it. Yeah. Status is over. Are you kidding me? You went and watched The Meg in the movie theater?
Yeah.
You wasted your time to go in there. You paid good money to go watch that in the movie theater. After you told me you're not going to watch the Game of Thrones because what the fuck?
I haven't watched any of that. I'm not complaining about that.
No, I'm just saying.
That's the difference.
Well, I'm complaining about The Meg.
It was horrible.
I couldn't bring myself to even like sit down. I couldn't even bring myself to sit down and put that on background noise while I'm working.
It's hilarious.
That's a waste of goddamn time. You cannot tell me that people waste their time watching other shit and you fucking went to the movies to watch
The Meg. I can tell you
that
all day because I'm not upset about it. There's the difference. They're getting upset about
it. I'm upset now.
They're getting upset.
I'm upset with you.
You can be upset. You'll get over it. You'll get over it.
I don't watch movies. I really don't watch movies.
You read the book, though.
There's a book. I read the book.
That's Megalodon. Funny. I prefer to visualize my stories.
Yeah. I did not read that book for the record. God, this second drink I did is probably a bad idea. All right,
what is this one? This one's good.
Blanton's.
The Blanton's is delicious.
Are you going back and forth?
Yeah.
Okay, good for you.
Yeah, man. Wow. This one's a little spicier.
All right,
than the other.
Listen, we're getting close to the end of this thing. I'm going to close it out with one more.
Hold on. Before we get there, I wanted to talk about one other thing we had briefly spoken about.
What was it?
I'm sure you've seen it. I'm sure our fans have seen this.
Both of them?
The thousands of firearms seized from a home in upscale Los Angeles.
More I don't know anything about it. What was he?
Well,
here's
the catch in this thing is this article is three sentences or three paragraphs long.
Yes.
They don't want to tell me anything. All it says is that Gerard Damian Sayens, 56, was arrested on suspicion of possessing, selling, and manufacturing assault weapons. Law enforcement served a warrant at 4 a.m. at the 100 block of North Beverly Glen Boulevard and Sunset Boulevard. The cache of guns, which included rifles and other long guns, and you know, everybody's seen the aerial footage and pictures. There's over 1,000 rifles there. It was suspicion that he was manufacturing automatic weapons. So is he taking regular rifles and changing out firing pins and changing out that? I don't know, because we don't get any more detail.
But there shouldn't be anything wrong with that, by the way.
Well, again, my concern is, if this is all that they're going to give us as a story and everybody's okay with it, no, it's fine. You just go seize him from his house. Did he commit an actual crime?
Mm-hmm.
Was he selling automatic weapons? Or did he just have them? Because having them in your home, while technically is a crime, sure. Why the fuck are you coming in my house? You don't just get to walk into my house and take my guns. But in California, we've talked about this. And California has a fucked up gun law. The civil forfeiture without due process. Remember, you're in California, Josh. I think you're crazy. You got guns. I can go talk to a cop friend who can get a warrant. We can go steal your shit.
That shit scares the hell out of me.
This is how you disarm the people.
It's working.
It's working in
certain
places.
Well, I say that.
Certain places.
Listen, it works. Listen, it's not working like it has in Venezuela. They actually
Absolutely.
Took the guns in Venezuela.
Right. Right. And
look what happened
out?
In New Zealand, right?
How's that worked out, by the way, for Venezuela?
Yeah,
it's great right there, right now. Right? Everybody wants to go vacation in Venezuela right now, right?
Venezuela's a mess.
Yeah.
It's a mess. We shouldn't be there. We shouldn't be involved in that.
No, and the government shouldn't have taken their guns and shouldn't have. I mean, there's a bunch of things that are fucked up there.
Yeah. But keep your guns, people.
Yeah, don't let these motherfuckers take your guns. The right to bear arms.
Shall not be infringed. Shall not be infringed. Shall not be infringed. Those are great yes, words. You should be allowed to own nuclear weapons. That should be it. If the state gets to, then we should be able to, right? An armed society is a polite society. That's Heinlein. That's his deal.
I appreciate the extreme of it too.
No, it really is.
If they can have a tank, so can I. Yeah, but I don't need a tank, but neither do you.
Yeah, exactly. That's the more important point, right?
Why do you?
I don't need.
I get it. The military needs it, but why do the cops?
But
need
why
it?
Do we? What does the military need it for?
War. When okay. Why are we going to war?
Exactly.
Oil, money. Oh wait, hold on. What's going on? Jesus Christ, this podcast just got hacked by the CIA. We're going.
That's enough. All right, that's enough of that. Let's talk about Game of Thrones again. Game of Thrones is yes, we're talking about bombing with dragons, people. Don't get this thing cut off.
Hold on. That's a beautiful segue. I think it was actually on it was either the Mind Unleashed or I don't think it was Reason, but I think it was the Mind Unleashed, and they'd made a meme, and it was a meme of them burning Winterfell, right? Uh-huh. Winterfell? No, King's Landing.
Yeah.
King's Landing.
Yeah, yeah.
Dragon burning King's Landing. And it said, if it upsets you that on a TV show, someone came in and burned the entire city down, women and children and all.
Mm-hmm.
Then it showed a picture of a drone. It said, maybe you should look at what the government is doing.
Interesting. The other meme that I saw was really brilliant about that. It was two pictures. It was one with Khaleesi being loved by the people, and it was like politicians while they're campaigning. And then the next picture was her on the dragon burning the town. It was like politicians while they're governing.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah, I'm for the people. Bomb some motherfuckers.
Right. I am for the people that are with me that also gave me money. By the way, I'll kill you too.
Okay, I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about this because this is the most important thing that we're going to talk about all night, and that is Alyssa Milano. Do you know who Alyssa Milano is?
Oh, I used to love Alyssa Milano.
She was super
First
hot.
Of all, everybody our age literally loves Alyssa Milano.
No.
Loved?
Yeah. Okay, there you go. That's fair. Alyssa Milano has become a social justice warrior. You know that, right? She's insane. So basically, I don't know if I can pull up the tweet in time, but basically,
I had heard. I had heard that she had called for women to go on a sex strike.
Yeah.
Now, one of the people we went to high school with, who I'm not going to say her name, but she is an attorney, she put on her Facebook, she said, my husband is part of this and blah 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 blah. And
what
so
do you mean,
am
part
I
of what?
Pro sex strike. She's like, because what I'm going to tell you is he's still going to get sex from me and this and that. And I was just
what is
like,
that? That's not a sex strike.
I was like, I don't even know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But ultimately, yes, Alyssa Milano had said something about women
Hold
going on
on
a sex strike.
Back
right?
up. So this person's husband is a feminist, right? I guess what she's trying to articulate.
Sure.
Okay.
He supports her right to call for a sex strike.
So my husband agrees they should have a sex strike, but we're not going to have one because I love my husband?
Sure.
Okay, that's not really standing with solidarity with women. I really wanted to pull up. I can't even because I'm trying to Google the
thing. What you should
thing.
Google is absolute horseshit out of Alyssa Milano's mouth.
Oh, that... Alyssa Milano explains sex strike. Okay, so...
See? If you Google absolute horseshit out of her mouth...
Well, okay, so here's the deal. Let me back up a little bit. So there's some states that are passing some very egregious... I don't know. Maybe I choose my words very careful. They're very restrictive abortion legislation. And I don't even want to get into what is actually going on because it's not in my state. And... It's a really weird place to even have that discussion. So I don't want to deal with the abortion part, but I want to deal with Alyssa Milano's retarded ass. And so she calls for a sex strike, and I can't find the quote, but basically it's like because abortion is being restricted in Georgia, we should call for a sex strike so women don't have sex with men or conservative men or something. And so.
Just men, but just conservative.
I don't, again.
So, like, do they have to put a C on their shirt?
No, but here's the point. Here's the funny part, right?
Sorry, so I was just going with that.
You and I would agree that conservatives are anti-abortion and maybe like anti-premarital sex and like, you know, like the
just
stuff.
Just on the surface, sure, but
yeah. Right? Yeah. Okay, so if Alyssa Milano is calling for you not to have sex in order for you not to get pregnant, because once you get pregnant, that was the gist of it. Once you get pregnant, you don't have autonomy over your body.
Right, you
meaning,
have a choice, sure.
Meaning they're going to make you have the baby. So basically she's saying abstinence is the best policy, which is pretty much what the conservatives are saying.
Right, thank you.
So she's pretty much, I mean, she's beating that drum, right?
Sure.
Am I right?
Yeah, she's going she's going about it a different way, but yeah, I would agree with that. She's preaching the abstinence portion.
It is retarded. And I
saw a meme about this too that made me laugh, and it was one where the lady, and it was a lady who posted it, and she said, "So I think that all men, because vasectomies are reversible, all men should be required by law to have vasectomies until they're ready to have kids, and then they can have it reversed. Oh wait, we shouldn't regulate that because that's part of your body, right?"
Yeah. Also, you can just not have sex. There's a really easy way to not get pregnant, guys. You can not have sex, or if you want to have sex, there's other things you could do, like maybe use a condom, or there's something called birth control.
Or we're going to add this. There's going to be a link, and I'm going to precursor this by telling you, those of you that click this link, you have to understand, if you are any way, shape, form, or fashion remotely religious, you are going to be fucking offended. Not a little bit. Okay. Really, really fucking
right now?
Offended.
This is a disclaimer?
This is a disclaimer. Let's because what I'm going to put on there, we're going to put this in the links below this podcast.
Okay.
It is.
Is it Jesus Loves You?
It is from Ricky Lindholm and I forget the other girl's name, but their band name is, it's not Hall & Oates. It is Oates and Garfunkel.
Okay.
And the song is called The Loophole.
Okay.
And it goes off about religious, pious nature.
Okay.
And sex and the sanctity of marriage, except for the scriptures giving you the loophole, which is anal sex.
Oh.
And the entire video is their song. So again, if you are highly religious, don't click on this because it's going to offend you. If you have a twisted sense of humor, but also understand hypocrisy and appreciate irony, by all means, click the fucking link.
That's
and
where it's
laugh.
At. It's so funny.
It will offend, and I will honestly admit it is borderline offensive to me with all my fucking skewed morals. But it's also hilarious. It is hilarious because it attacks. And it's poignant.
Let me real quick give you Alyssa Milano's actual tweet. So it says, "Our reproductive rights are being erased. Until women have legal control over our own bodies, we just cannot risk pregnancy. Join me by not having sex until we get bodily autonomy back. I'm calling for a sex strike. Pass it on."
Anal sex. Oral sex.
Let me rephrase that real quick. No. It's a complete sex ban. It's a complete sex strike. Our reproductive rights are being erased. Until women have the legal control over our own bodies, we just cannot risk pregnancy. Join me by not having sex until we get our bodily autonomy back. Hold on.
You know what that tells me?
Legal control over our body, we just cannot risk pregnancy. So basically what you're saying is, I shouldn't risk pregnancy and... till I want to have a baby?
Right. Okay. So you're just going back to beat a different drum. We're just coming out about it a different way. No, I'm not going to disagree. Listen, the things that they're passing are fucked up too. Oh, don't play this whole thing on here. Do not play this whole thing. I'm telling you right now.
Let's get it. We'll definitely get kicked off. Hey, I'd like to thank Alyssa Milano for making abstinence a thing again.
Not the religious rights thing. It's Alyssa Milano.
Yeah, she is leading the Catholic charge now.
Alyssa Milano, if you want to know what kind of great, righteous, and moral woman she is.
I only care about her because she's good looking, just so you know that. She was good looking in
Embrace of the Vampire.
Is she in that?
That is a movie where she's naked and having sex all the time. All the time.
Yeah, but back then, men weren't calling for restrictive
abortion
laws.
Oh, wait, hold on. Back then, it was Harvey Weinstein raping women and doing whatever he wanted on the couch, getting away with it, and we made a joke. And Hollywood was allowing it all. Oh, wait. Now it's a problem, too. Fucking hypocritical bullshit. That's all it is.
America's a strange place. It's getting stranger by the day.
It's a great place to live.
It is the best place I've ever lived.
It's a great place to live.
900-pound cocaine guy's got to go to court tomorrow. Oh, Nick, I got nothing else. I'm going to wrap it up here.
Yeah, I think we're good, my man. I think we're good.
The music's there.
What are you into, John?
Oh, let's do that one. So we talked about Avengers of the day. Can I tell you something funny? I did not watch many of the Avengers movies. And my wife the other day says, man, you know, there's a new Avengers movie coming out, and I have not watched them. We should watch them all. And I was like, what, woman? So we were going.
It's like 64 movies.
It's like 20 or something. We're going to go watch all the Avengers movies in chronological order.
Have fun with that.
Yeah. So there's that. You got anything that you're into?
I'm still reading The Walking Dead comic book online. Sorry, I keep saying it, the graphic novel online.
That sounds more appropriate.
And I'm still doing my 300 push-up challenge.
Are you really?
This is month two.
I failed at push-ups. I just cannot get myself motivated to push up.
300 a day. It hurts. It hurts. And it hurts more, but they're good.
Yeah.
So, dude, that's what I've got for tonight. Man, we got to come back before a month. Because now the Rockets are out of the playoffs.
Month every time.
We'll do it. We'll get back before a month because the Rockets are out of the playoffs. So
yeah. All right. So we're going to have some, look, we've got some requests for some guests. We got to bring George back. I have another guest. We'll see. But Tanana's back in the mix. Nick, any parting notes?
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram is not one that we're on, but it just kind of flows off the tongue.
I don't know how I can get to 900 pounds, but I hope that if I ever get to 900 pounds, that there's a cocaine dealer nearby
that will help get you. Some.
Yeah, I mean, just for the sheer enjoyment of it. And then I'm going to make those motherfuckers cut a hole in my roof, too, to take me to fucking jail.
Lift me by a crane, bitch.
Nick, what do you want to do next time, buddy?
Dude, same thing we do every
podcast. What's up, my friend?
Try and take over the world.
Boom.